What has been the most vulnerable place for you as a photographer? Like, where do you personally struggle the most in your experience of engaging in this way with people?
Where I honestly struggle the most is I'm an introvert. And so really getting that connection with people is hard for me because I am such an introvert. And doing it, and Terry is the exact opposite. She's an extrovert. That's why her and I are such a good pair, is that during our initial planning meetings and things like that, she's there to facilitate that communication. She's there to kind of bridge that gap. She's not there on the wedding day. So I have to figure out ways to do that. And that's hard for me because as an introvert, it's kind of like, I'd rather just go, shoulders go, hide behind my mask and the camera and go, I'm just going to take pictures and not have to talk. Well, it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. So I had to learn, and I'm still learning how to be an extrovert.
Hi, this is Adina here with today's episode of Courage to be Curious with Adina Tovell. And if you have been following us during the month of October, you know that we've been talking about the masks that we wear, the facades that we often live behind, and how we come out from behind those. It, of course, makes perfect sense because in a few days, right, we're coming up to the ever favorite holiday of Halloween, where we do take that opportunity to formally put masks and costumes on and get to show up in some other way. But what we've been talking about is how hard it is sometimes to show up as our real selves, even when we don't have Halloween and we're not formally putting on the masks. But my guest today is Matt Mead, and I'm so excited. If you have visited the hopefully by this time newly released website of Courage to be Curious, you will see some of Matt's photography. So Matt is a wonderful photographer. We did a great photo shoot. We had the best time and knew that he would be a perfect person to talk to about how we come out and really show our authentic selves and show how we become genuine and show our genuine selves to the world. Because we know that many times when we're taking photographs, we're really thinking about what do we want to show? What do we want to present to the world? Some people are nervous when there's cameras in front of them. And so we thought it would make a really interesting conversation. So Matt, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure to work with you on your session. I had such a ball. And I think you're 100% correct. Photography really does flow well in with this topic of masks and facades.
So one of the reasons, Matt, that I chose you is when I went to Matt's website, which we'll share with you all at the end, although it's not hard to find Matt Mead Photography. One of the things that I loved when I went to your site, Matt, was the conversation. You really talked about your philosophy as a photographer, and you don't do studio photography, and you don't do the let me touch up every single, you know, little inch of anything that might look absolutely imperfect. But you have a philosophy behind your photography that I'd love to talk more about.
Sure. Yeah. Our main philosophy with our photography is we like to capture moments as they happen, the authentic moments in between those posed moments where people are their true selves. Because posed studio photography, and I'm going to quote somebody that you are, that we're both very fond of, that studio photography can come off as being cold and lifeless. And that's just not who we are. And it's not authentic that we are. So we really, really strive ourselves to get those moments in between. So even our posed moments come off as being authentic, come off as being unposed, come off as being candid. And that's really, really, really where I think the beauty of photography lies right there, is getting those moments.
So tell me what seems so important about that. And especially, Matt, because you do a lot of wedding photography, and people kind of think of weddings as the time when you want everything to look and feel perfect. So, you know, tell me what feels important to you about capturing people in this way. And how do you go about doing that?
Well, in the case of the wedding day, that we advise all our couples, like, that is going to be the longest 6, 12 to 10 hours of the shortest. I'm sorry, not the longest. It's going to be the shortest 6, 8 to 10 to 12 hours of your life. You're going to wake up at 9 and then you're going to blink and it's going to be midnight. You're going to be in the limo going home, and it's just, and you won't remember any of it.
Exactly. And that's true.
And that's exactly why we're there to do, is to document that day for you. And that doesn't mean standing you underneath the perfectly composed tree or backdrop and posing you in 50 different angles so that you get the 50 different points. It's like, no, catch those moments in between it going to evoke your emotion and make you go jump back to that moment in time, that exact moment in time on the day. And you're going to remember exactly how you felt. And that's why, that's why I do what we do. And that's why I strive to do that, because I love those moments.
And it's interesting in photography, Matt, because I think you and I talked a little bit about this, like the paradox of the photograph, right? That on the one hand, it captures this incredibly real moment in time, and it's only a snapshot that all the things it doesn't convey, right? And then you and I talked about the relationship between that and social media and what gets posted. And you and I both have Instagram pages or Facebook and things like that. And so, you know, what's a good way to think about this paradox between, okay, we want this really real, but it might be projecting something that is maybe further, pretty far from real.
Well, yeah, there's that Instagram paradox of the perfectly curated feed and perfectly curated life. Life just isn't that way, as we all know. And your wedding day is not that way. It's never perfect. And, you know, you're going to make faces that you don't necessarily would want photographed, that you wouldn't think you would want photographed, or you maybe when you're laughing, you don't like the way you look, or maybe when you're crying, we all make the similar face when we cry, that nobody looks good when they cry. It's like, but when you're crying because your partner is reading those vows to you, that, and they're giving you, they're telling you from the bottom of their heart how they feel, that's a moment you're going to want captured. And that's a moment you're going to want up on your Instagram feed, because that tells a true story. That shows you for who you are underneath all of that makeup and the dress and the suits and all of that preparation. That moment where you start crying during your vows, that's the moment that shows you. Or when you see your partner coming down that aisle for the first time from the altar, and you lose it. And it's like that's that authentic moment underneath all of that preparation that you're really going to want documented, and you're really going to want show on your feet.
Yeah, which is beautiful, because it's making me think about, right, I remember even my own wedding day, and we spent hours like getting the hair done and then the makeup done and all of these things. And, you know, those pictures were kind of fun, but it wasn't what really captured the essence of what was happening on that day. And it's making me think about all the work we sometimes do of putting up our persona, but it's like when we let the realness of ourselves hang out, that's what people connect with the most.
Absolutely. I've noticed in my feed, if you're going, those are the photos that get the most traction. Wow. I mean, those are the photos that get, I'm going to quote our mentor, those are the photos that get printed out and put in silver frames on your mantle. Those are the photos that you want in your wedding album. You know, those are the photos that you're going to want of your family and your family portraits up on your mantles, or in your office, or proudly display those.
Right. So let's just talk before we go into some more of the other things, but let's talk about that Instagram feed, because you and I were talking about that. Like, well, you and I both have Instagram feeds, and it's part of a business these days to have Instagram feeds. And this, how do we navigate this? Like, what are the considerations? Because social media is out there. It's out there to help promote your business. And so there's this sense that everything should be perfect and everything should look curated to the optimal of what people will have if they choose to work with you. And yet, what are the downsides of that? So how do you go about approaching the social media piece?
It feels like one of the downfalls of that perfectly curated feed is unrealistic expectations of yourself. And it's like, because the only thing that we're projecting out in that feed is how perfect our life is. Well, I think we all know that life is not perfect.
Not so perfect, right?
So you have to kind of find that delicate balance, I think, of here's the perfect feed, here's a little bit of imperfection to show you that I'm actually a real person, I'm human. And it's actually me behind the feed, not a virtual assistant or somebody else just curating all of my best photos to put out there. Right. Because when people hire us, in both of our industries, they're hiring us. They're not hiring our perfect Instagram feed. They're hiring the human behind the Instagram feed. They're hiring the human behind the camera. Right. So that people need to know that human. They need to know that he or she is human.
Yeah, I think that piece about, and especially, you know, we've been living through all this pandemic stuff and less connection, that the people we're going to bring into our lives or allow into the doors of our life, that they are human, that they struggle in the ways that we do. And it's interesting because I've thought many times over the course of this business that I've had too, of how much of personal struggles do you reveal, right? You know, are people expecting you to have the answers, right? Or in my case, you know, have the good questions. At least that's a good thing. I don't have to have all the answers. I just have to have good questions, right? You know, but the own vulnerabilities. And I think you're right. The more we share those, and this is certainly, thank you, Brené Brown, for helping us to all understand how important our vulnerabilities are, that the more we share our humanness and our vulnerabilities, that the more people are going to connect with us and not the less. I think the other thing I often think about in that case, and I'm, you know, curious how you see it as the photographer, but the perfect curated, I almost think that what that does is just prey on people's insecurities of how imperfect I am. And I've certainly seen businesses where I feel like people are almost hopping on board with the hope that they can become as perfect as that person out there if they jump on board with their services. And I've never wanted people to aspire to an unrealistic sense of perfection.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because it's when you see that and you try to live up to that unrealistic expectation, you end up just bringing yourself even further away from that. And it's, and in my industry especially, it's really difficult because you're always playing the comparison game with other photographers. It's like, well, look at their feed. You know, they have 50,000 followers. What am I doing wrong to that? You know, that I don't have 50,000 followers. It's like, well, or what am I doing right that I'm serving all of my clients that
and not paying attention, not to, my paying feed attention so much.
To my feed so much.
Exactly. And I mean, I think when I go through and I look at your feed and I look at the pictures that are there, and even when, because I had the privilege of coming to your house, the same photographs that are around your house, that they are these beautiful, real moments. And it is what made me choose you, is I wanted to make sure that what I was going to project was a real me, not, you know, a perfect idyllic version of myself out into the world. You know, how, what it takes to get comfortable with that, what it takes to get comfortable to say, I just want to put the real out there and not the ideal out there. So I'm curious, because I imagine you have some clients, especially on wedding days or other people, and maybe you even experienced it with me, right? Where, you know, someone is trying to put out their absolute best and is almost overdoing it, or the cases where they're so afraid of being seen that they have a hard time letting you photograph them at all. And so what do you do to try to help bring up the essence of people?
You know, this is going to sound like a cop-out, but I'm just, for both instances, I'm just myself. I try to be very calming, very, not soothing, but just very kind of middle of the road, not too many highs, not too many lows, just kind of very, very calming and soothing, because I know in either direction, it's a stressful situation and nobody enjoys being in front of the camera, no matter what they tell you. They're always like, I don't like being photographed, or, you know, I don't like, there's some, this thing about me I don't like, or there's this. Well, we actually had a rash of brides, believe it or not, that like last year and in years previous, and even one into this year, that would just, they would always pick something on one side of their face that they didn't like. And it's like, and then I would look at them and go, but you're perfectly symmetrical. But I, in my head. And so I'm like, okay, well, you don't like the left side of your face, we'll photograph you from the right side. And then what they don't realize is that they're mirroring me. So that I'm photographing that side that they think they don't like, and they end up loving it when they see it in the camera. Because it's, because I'm just, like I said, and then I don't draw attention to it. I don't draw attention to anything. I just try to be calm and kind of be that. One of our clients put it on the wedding day. She's like, I was the pillar of calm on the stressful day. As soon as she saw me, she knew the day was going to be okay, no matter what was going on around her. And I try to bring that energy to every single one of my sessions. And I also try to make them lighthearted and fun. Like, I try to just be real with it. Just make me even be a little self-deprecating. Like, I'll make fun of myself. And then I'll do the pose I want you to do, the pose. I know I look ridiculous. So, and then you're going to laugh. So it's like, and I get that reaction right there. And that's the one I want to photograph.
Okay. And you did photograph that one about 100 times for me, because you kept saying, go small, until I would just like crack up and then go big. And that's what you're looking
and,
for.
And that's the other thing. You get to be an observer of people. Like somebody like you, for example, is you're a little bit more lighthearted, a little bit more fun, a little bit more expressive. So if I try to curtail that, you're going to struggle. And then once you get to the point where you can't hold it anymore, I go, okay, let it out. And I don't have to tell you smile. I just say, let it out. And then you let it out. Or on the other end of it, you make them do the big, big, huge, ridiculous grin, knowing that they're very kind of serious. And then you go, okay, breathe, blow out your birthday candles. And you blow it out, and then they're...
Right. And then they've got some sort of relaxed sense to them.
Yep.
And that can come through. I'm wondering about, did you ever have a client, whether it was like me for branding or a bride or groom, who just really had a hard time? And like when you started photographing them, they just really couldn't let themselves be seen or be them. And then, you know, over the course of time, just sort of suddenly came to life. And, you know, what are the differences? I'm always curious, what are the differences of what you can see through the lens between that person who's really struggling to be revealed and when they actually allow themselves to be seen?
It's a lot of body posture. Like you can really, for me, it's in the shoulders. Like people who are uncomfortable and people who don't want to be photographed and people who are not having a good time tend to shrug and tend to do this and hold everything right here.
Actually, it looks, I'm in the video if you want, because if you're listening, you don't see, but I'm like, oh, I'm showing my shoulder. Actually, it looks a little nice and square.
But that is square or slightly drooped. That means they're comfortable. So when I start getting that person scrunching their shoulders and their shoulders getting closer to their ears, that's usually when I'll put the camera down and just talk to them. And they go, okay, you know, what's going on? You having a good day, bad day? Are you having fun? What can we do? And then once they get to talking, while I'm talking to them, the camera will slowly come up and then they'll start taking pictures while I'm talking to them. So it's like I take the way, it's like I'm taking away that barrier between me and the person. They see that camera as a barrier. And then when I remove that barrier, they loosen up.
Yeah. And I think it's because I even remember our photo shoot. And at one point, you know, we had somebody here and you said, just start talking to them, right? You know, putting ourselves in situations where we feel most comfortable, where we feel most natural. And, you know, I do think a lot about it, because I think about lots of times people feeling like every environment that they're in, that they're not, they can't feel relaxed enough to be natural and to be themselves. And they feel like they have to come presenting themselves all of the time. And then I think about things like, well, what if we just started talking about something else? Like whether we're talking about sports or, you know, something of interest in like hobbies or things like that, as to how we let that down. But there's so many of us who I feel like we hold and we cling so tightly to the persona that we want people to see. And did you ever have anybody come back? And I have no idea, because you haven't told me this or not, but come back and be like, I don't like these photographs, like because they were looking for those picture perfect studio things in the end. Or did everybody kind of know what they were getting into in terms of the reel?
Not one time have we ever had anybody come back and say, I did not like what we got. Because it's, we coach our clients into, if I can back up for a second, when people initially meet with us, they come in with an expectation. They come in with like, you know, we want to these particular photos. We want to do this particular thing and we want to have it this way, and then we want to have them all in color.
Right.
But then once we meet with them, we kind of coach them on some of the things that they didn't know. Then it can, and then on the day of the shoot, the day of the wedding, they have a different level of expectation. Mm-hmm. And then when we meet that level, which we always do, knock on wood, they know what to expect and they come back and goes, man, you were 100% right. We love these black and whites and we love these moments. It's never been the opposite. It's never been, I wish you would have posed us more.
Right. There was one thing that you said when we were talking about the distinction between color and black and white, or maybe it was actually Terry who said it, who said, if you want to project the feeling, go for black and white. If you want to feature the outfit, go for color, right?
Yeah, that was the people that we took some mentoring sessions from, Justin and Mary Morant. Says Mary had said to Terry that, you know, that similar quote where if you care what people are wearing, photograph them in color. But if you care about how they feel or what they're feeling, you photograph them in black and white. And hence, that's the reason why, if you look at my portfolio on our website, 98% of it's in black and white.
Right. It actually makes me think about, as somebody who thinks about questions all the time, that, you know, what questions reveal or allow people to reveal about themselves. And I'm kind of thinking, if you want to kind of understand what a person knows, right, you ask them a question that really is very intellectual and you can get that back. But if you want to know who they are, right, we have to ask a question that sometimes feels scary. I mean, when we talk about courage to be curious, part of the courage part is that sometimes asking questions can feel scary because maybe they feel a little bit vulnerable to somebody on the other side. Or if we're asking them of ourselves, that it opens a door of a place where we feel a little less secure or more vulnerable. And so, you know, those kinds of questions that might be the black and white questions, right? The ones that, you know, get deep inside the heart as compared to those questions who are like, share with me what you know.
Yeah, the questions that are hard to answer that you can't hide behind a mask.
So, yeah. And so I'm sitting here and thinking, what am I going to ask Matt that's that? Because I feel like I've been asking you some of the questions that are like the color questions, like what do you know about these things and what do they, you experience about these things? So let me ask you a black and white question. Okay. Is, you know, what has been the most vulnerable place for you as a photographer? Like, where do you personally struggle the most in your experience of engaging in this way with people?
Where I honestly struggle the most is I'm an introvert. And so really getting that connection with people is hard for me because I am such an introvert. And doing it, and Terry is the exact opposite. She's an extrovert. That's why her and I are such a good pair, is that during our initial planning meetings and things like that, she's there to facilitate that communication. She's there to kind of bridge that gap. She's not there on the wedding day. So I have to figure out ways to do that. And that's hard for me because as an introvert, it's kind of like, I'd rather just go, shoulders go, hide behind my mask of a camera and go, I'm just going to take pictures and not have to talk. Well, it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. So I had to learn, and I'm still learning how to be an extrovert.
Right. Or how to be, allow your introverted person to be comfortable enough in those settings that require that extroverted side of you to come forward. And, you know, I can see that because you are the one that needs to make the person being photographed feel comfortable. And yet you'd like to just be behind the lens. What happens when people take pictures of you?
Well, it's rare, but it happens. The shoulder shrug happens. I try to hide. I don't like having my picture taken. I just don't. But a colleague of mine once told me, he's like, he said, is it that you don't like having your photo taken or you don't like the photos that have been taken of you? Mm. He's like, which one is it? And I thought about that and I'm like, huh, he's got a point. It's like, because the only other, outside of our wedding photos, the only other, I've had maybe one other session that I really liked. And it was like, and that was in Dublin. So in Dublin, Ireland, because when I was, and even then I was relaxed because I was in a foreign country on vacation. And Terry and I decided to have some photos done. And it was like, I was totally relaxed and I was outside of my comfort zone. I was able to rip the mask off and let myself be myself. And every other time outside of our wedding photos, it's been the opposite. I've hid and I've just never liked the way I look.
I actually love thinking about that though, because again, I'm thinking about the way we show up in the world and that question that they asked you, is it that you don't like having the photos taken or you don't like the way you look in them? And, you know, I think if we asked ourselves that kind of question about the things that we shy away from or feel afraid of, right? Is it the thing we're actually afraid of, or is it what we imagine the result of it is going to be? You know, like whether it's a difficult conversation, is it actually having the conversation, or is the fear that the conversation might not come out the way we want to or hoped? Or, you know, if I asked somebody out on a date or something, is it the actual asking, or is it the fear of the outcome of it, of not having it go well? And I'm thinking to myself, like all the relevant pieces, or even people who tell me simple things like, I don't cook. Well, is you don't cook because you actually don't like cooking, or is you don't cook because you get afraid that the thing you're going to cook is not going to taste good?
Boy, and it's funny you mentioned cooking, because it's, I feel like cooking is the most vulnerable thing you could do for somebody. It's and maybe it's my Italian American upbringing, but that's what we do. We feed people. That's how we show. That's our love language. And it's like, so if you're cooking for somebody and it flops, Are you more upset by the fact that you cooked something terrible, or by the fact that the person you care most for ate this thing that you put your whole evening and whole heart and soul into, and they just didn't like it? Like, which part of that hurts more? And so, but I would argue that the fact that you just cook for somebody, even if it's garbage, they're going to tell you they liked it if they care about it, no matter what. So just go ahead and cook the thing.
Just go ahead and cook the thing, right? And it's interesting. So I will say one of the things that was just sort of mind-blowing is after Matt, you guys, we had the whole photo shoot, which was such a fabulous good time. And then the reveal of the photos, I mean, anytime I've ever had these, right, somebody just sends them to you electronically and you get the photographs. But you're like, no, why don't you come over to our home studio and you and Terry cooked something, right? Terry cooked up something and, you know, you wanted to care for me in that moment too, and wanted the reveal of the photographs to be personal in that way. And it was a much more intimate experience than just what you would get in a studio. And then suddenly you would get pictures or a link just sent to you somewhere, but it was more, we want to see your reaction. I imagine that was true for you too. Like, we want to see how you react to things.
And if I can be completely honest about that, it took me probably 3 years to get comfortable with doing this because you go into, and then I'll get into the reason we do those in a minute, but as a photographer and an artist, you put every ounce of your soul in every photograph you take, at least I do. And it was like, I was sitting here thinking, like, man, what if they're sitting on a couch and they just don't like them? Like, could I, you know, could I deal with that kind of rejection? It's like, well, you're going to have to learn because it's going to happen. I mean, you need to have thick skin for this business. But then as the more we did these and the more we saw the people's reactions and the positive reactions and the emotions, it's like, man, it's like they hired us for a reason. So they're not going to come and sit on our couch if they don't trust that what we're going to give them is going to be good. So, you know, it took me a while to get over that. And the reason we do those is we spoke about it earlier about cooking is our love language. Mm-hmm. Darren and I both being of an Italian American upbringing, that's our love language, cooking and wine and just entertaining people. And with a photo shoot or a wedding, or I don't want to say we strip you raw, but we don't. We kind of expose a nerve, and it's a very raw thing. So you then want to kind of go, okay, it's over and done with. Now we can take a step back, relax, have some food, have some wine, have some coffee, tea, whatever your thing is. And then we can walk through that day, walk through your session again. We can live your session all over again. Yeah. And from a more casual standpoint, we can laugh at some things. We can cry at some things. We can cringe at some things. We can, you know, we can remember how we felt in those moments. And then it ends up being just a nice little party. And we love that.
It really seems like it's the whole experience too of you're not just our clients that are these nameless, faceless people out there that we're taking these pictures, but you know, you're real people to us. And I think when you do that, right, everybody drops that outer layer, that facade or those masks and things like that, because you've invited them into such deep personal relationship with you by opening up your home and your cooking and being that vulnerable. Is, I mean, what I love and why the reason I wanted to have this conversation with you is that so many of these things that you do really do help people just drop all of this, you know, where they could be trying to be as perfect and as everything as they want to be, but you're showing up as you're just introverted, but lighthearted and real self. And then you and Terry opening up your arms so widely to people and for taking the time to see them as you're photographing them too, to really, I mean, I noticed like you just look right in the eyes of the people that you photograph and how beautiful that is, that you don't let there be masks.
You know, the eyes are the window to the soul, and your eyes don't hide anything. And that's why I always make it a point to, like, as you said, look everybody in the eye that I photograph. And it's like, that's going to tell me, A, if you're having a good time, besides the shoulder shrug, and B, it's going to tell me, okay, is this the mask, or is this the authentic person that's in front of my camera? And if it's the former, what can I do to get the latter?
And I think what a great thing for us all to take from this is that how often do we really pause to look somebody in the eye? you know, whether we're on Zoom or we're face to face or we're in a business meeting or even friends, because we can get so busy. Like we can be running and doing all of these things. And I imagine weddings, as I remember, are pretty chaotic events. But part of what you do in the photographer is like, especially for those two people, like you slow everything down to that moment where it's like, we just have to be here. We're just here. We're just in this space. And the profoundness of you as the photographer, even pausing to like look people in the eye and to let them be seen, that that is such an incredible gift. And that's a gift that we could all give to each other if we made that conscious effort.
And it's gotten to the point where too, like where people are so not used to being looked in the eye that I actually have to preface going, I'm not being creepy. Like I'm just, this is just my process. I'm just trying to see things, see how I can do things. It's like, I'm absolutely not being creepy. I always have to preface it because people are just used to that. They're used to the computer screen, the phone screen. They're not used to one-on-one interaction and having someone stare them dead in the face and tell them what to do. So it's kind of like, okay. And you know, it's okay.
So I wonder, like thinking about people listening to this shortly before Halloween here, when who knows what will be happening? Maybe we will be having Zoom Halloween parades. I don't know. You know, what would that look like? A Zoom masquerade party or something like that. I imagine we could be do pretty fun things. If I did that, I could actually have 15 outfits on in the same party. That would be kind of fun, right? That would be pretty sweet. That'd be so, all right. We might have to organize this, right? Zoom, a Halloween party, things like that. But, you know, if we even took these days leading up to it, this day where we do traditionally put masks on or put costumes on, but if we took these couple days to really consciously say, who am I going to look in the eyes today? Who am I actually going to pause to really see today? And as though, as you said, like I'm looking into their soul and not just, you know, kind of attuning to what thing they're saying in that moment, but actually really experiencing and looking into their soul. And for us just to know what that would feel like. And I think that even Zoom or a mirror works equally well too, if you're not in your house and don't have a Zoom camera on, but you know, is what would it be like to look at ourselves that way too? Right. You know, to just take a pause. And I was recently looking at something on LinkedIn with a teacher. You know, teachers are doing all kinds of amazing things in school that are trying to just kind of work with the fact that kids are in masks, that they've been on Zoom or virtual for all this time and coming back to school. And I saw this beautiful image of a teacher who had a big vertical mirror that she hung up. And when the kids came to school, it had a little tag on the top that said, I am. And then each kid would step in front of the mirror and look at themselves and I am. And then I'm guessing saying wow. Their name, right? And just the power of every day having each child come up and face themselves first. It was really powerful.
Wow, that's awesome. That's really awesome.
And it was interesting. I was watching the kids who could, you know, were standing there pretty comfortably because, you know, it was a little bit of a video reel, but, you know, the kids who could stand there and really be standing in their presence. And then the kids who like kind of come up and got away as fast as they possibly could. And so just want to make this invitation as we're thinking about this here, that what if we all take these opportunities? What if we look in the camera and look into our own souls? What if we pause with somebody we really care about and take a moment to pause and look into their soul in the same way that you do that with your clients? I think that would be such an amazing gift.
That's a serious black and white assignment right there.
There you go, a serious black and white assignment. So I've totally unprepared you for this, Matt, because I realized in the preparation for this is one thing I didn't tell you, but we'll see what comes out. So I asked you a bunch of questions, but in this kind of bonus episode that comes at the end of our series, because we have an episode that's about living with the courage to be curious, loving, leading. And then this is the wild card, right? Where we bring in some other perspective on the theme. And so this is ours. So we also offer up an opportunity to ask a wild card question. So you're getting to ask me something that's like totally a wild card question. And I might ask you a wild card question too. And it can be anything.
It can be anything?
It can be anything. Does not have to be related to the theme whatsoever. It's an anything. It's a wild card.
So anything.
Anything.
Okay. Wow. You are kind of putting me on the spot. Let me see if I can come up with a nice little black and white question here for you. So, okay. When it comes to curiosity, do you find that people are less curious now than, say, they were 10, 15 years ago due to Instagram, due to technology, due to social media, due to that perfectly curated feed or perfectly curated life that everyone's supposed to have, that they just feel that that's how it's supposed to be, and they're not getting deeper than they should, not getting into those black and white men?
You know, do I feel like it's different? I mean, I will say the things that I feel like, I love the question, that I feel like are impacting our curiosity is, I do feel like our education system impacts our curiosity, that we have a system, which is what we all grow up in, which values answers more than questions. And I think that that significantly impacts our curiosity on a global scale. The kind of curiosity, though, that I work with a lot is around the interpersonal, intra and interpersonal, like being curious about myself and how I work and then being curious about somebody else. And I do think that this is where social media and things like that, that have created these ideals of perfection, perhaps keep us from becoming more genuinely curious. Like, we're afraid to be curious about ourselves and be vulnerable with ourselves, because we feel like the outside world doesn't have a lot of tolerance or room or, you know, grace and acceptance for imperfection. And then with anybody else, like, it's amazing how many times I'll hear, well, I can't ask that question, that's too personal, or I can't ask that question, that, you know, would be too vulnerable. Yet, as you've said, it's those very things that actually bring us into deeper connection with each other. So I think in terms of historically, whether it's more or less, I do think that curiosity has a negative impact. I mean, that social media has a negative impact on our curiosity. And I also think the other way that social media has a negative impact on our curiosity is through all the comparative. I mean, social media by its nature is comparative. Let me show you what I'm doing today. How does that measure up to what you're doing? Let me show you what I look like or what I'm wearing or the greatest achievement I've just made. And for most people, that activates a sense of comparison, which, as someone else looks bigger and bolder, we look smaller. It takes a lot of, I think, personal confidence and self and security in oneself to always be graciously celebratory and happy for other people's successes without having any pangs of self-doubt or comparison. And it makes us, as you said, you curl in and you get small, and we're not curious when we kind of curl up and go into our shells. We're not curious about us. We're not curious about others. We just fall deeper into a sense of insignificance. And that worries me, right? That worries me with young people. I see it worries me with all people, because I think we're all subject to it. And that curiosity is, one of the reasons I do what I do, right? We've got to provide more tools and strategies and safety and inspiration for that curiosity to grow. All right, now I get to ask you a question.
Oh.
As if I haven't already asked you many questions and things like that. All right, but I'm going to go somewhat here. So you and Terry are both Italian. Mm-hmm. So what is your most, perhaps, what is the Italian trait about yourself that perhaps you are most proud of and least proud of?
I think we'll start with the least proud of is I'll probably end up with what my mother calls Sicilian Alzheimer's, where you forget everything but the grudge. And I think the most thing that I'm most proud of is our sense of family and our sense of, we want everybody to be part of our family, where we want everybody to be, you know, come into our home. We want, and that's why as soon as you sign on the dotted line with us, you become part of the Double M family. And it's being very family oriented and being very close with the people we work with, people in our friends and our friendship group. That is the one thing that I'm most proud of our Italian American heritage and upbringing, is that we have a strong sense of family and community.
Well, and I will say that is absolutely true, that as soon as you become a client of Matt's and Terry's, you become part of Matt and Terry's family. It's no mistake that he's sitting here next to me, because we had so much fun that day. I was like, all right, we have to keep this relationship going. So Matt if people are interested in your photography, how and where do they find Matt Mead Photography?
We're on the internet. It's mattmeadphotographyllc.com, or the shorter version, mattmeadweddings.com. And on Instagram, my wedding handle is Matt Mead Weddings. And then we have a portrait account too, which is just Matt Mead Portraits. And our Facebook is just our business Facebook with Matt Mead Photography.
And so if you, right, you're located in the Erie, Pennsylvania area,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so, but do you work with people who might be in other places?
We do. Yeah, we are. We have passports. We're willing to travel. so we've, as far as not using our passports, we usually work a lot in Pittsburgh and like Ligonier and the Pittsburgh surrounding area. Occasionally Cleveland, occasionally Buffalo, but mainly Pittsburgh and all points in between Pittsburgh area.
Awesome. And, you know, I would say just from my own experience too, that I think people who are, if you're thinking about photography for any reason, you know, whether you're close enough or able to bring that in, or you're just thinking about your photography, I think a great outcome of today's conversation is for people to really think about, what do I want to have portrayed through the photography that I take, whether it's for a website or for it's a job board or resumes or any of those kinds of things. What is it I really want to have portrayed? What do I want people to see about me through this photography? And that is such a, it's, it would be a beautiful question for people to consider before they make that choice as to who is going to do the photography or what pictures they're going to choose to show.
Yeah. And that would be, you know, some great questions to ask your photographer. And if it doesn't even necessarily have to be me. And if your photographer can't answer those as a straight and give you a straight answer, then maybe they're not the photographer for you. Then keep looking for that person that's willing to do those things for you. And they're out there. Trust me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the episode today, on the podcast today. And, you know, once again, the reminder that as you head into Halloween, maybe in the days leading before it, you really take that time to look at yourself, honestly, in the mirror and Zoom camera, and to look, you know, deeply into the souls of some of other people that you care about in your life before we all go putting on our Halloween masks and costumes. Thank you, Matt.
No, thanks for being here. It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Thank you for hiring us and making. Now that you're part of our family, we'll have to do another one of these.
Absolutely. And join us back in November, because in November, this, I believe, will be Courage to Be Curious's fourth year being a sponsor of the You Matter Marathon, one of the sponsors of the You Matter Marathon. And it's the You Matter Marathon, no running required, but it is a month during which globally, people are really considering how they can convey to people that they know and that they don't know, you matter. My colleague and friend, Cheryl Rice, founded the You Matter Marathon. You can go to You Matter Marathon, I believe it's .org, and check it out. But we are going to have Cheryl on. We're going to have other people really talking about how do we cultivate and create a sense of people belonging, kind of the way Matt's talking about. How do we make people part of our family or make people feel comfortable and safe and as though they really matter in the world? So that's where we'll be going in November. So stay with us and keep joining us all the way through the end of the year.